Good morning. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jim Davis, along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, most trusted name in automobiles. Could still win a case of New Belgium beer from High Country Beverage today. Got some thoughts about Vegas Vic Fangio. Rolling the dice this last Sunday, going for it on fourth down. Do you like the new aggressive Vegas Vic Fangio? Also, better rivalry right now in high school football locally. Montrose Palisade, which plays tonight here on the Team Sports Network. Or Montrose Fruita, which played a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Close football game at Montrose. The Indians coming out on top of the Wildcats. But both of those, Montrose Palisade, Montrose Fruita, they've been really close football games.
Yeah, they have.
Over the last several years. Palisade, Montrose, reference the numbers. Last six meetings, 3-3. Montrose with a 3-point edge in total score. So if you got some thoughts on that today, text or call us 970-242-1340. But also we have college football this weekend. And Saturday, the Mavericks open up Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference play at Las Vegas, New Mexico against New Mexico Highlands. And joining us right now, he's the defensive coordinator in his second year at Colorado Mesa, Brandon Anderson. Brandon, I appreciate the time. How are you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing fine. Take us through the bye week, because it's been a long layoff. It seems like it's been a long, long time since you guys played that William Jewell game to open up the season. How beneficial has it been for you to have this kind of time to get ready for New Mexico Highlands?
It was great. You know, for me, it's a little bit weird. The schools that I'm coming from, I've actually never had a bye week as a coach.
Really?
I'm used to 11 straight and just keep going. You know, typically if you have a bye, you'd rather have it in the middle of the season. But for us, it was a good time to really work on ourselves more than anything, and then also get a couple bodies back healthy. And so it was good for us, but it was more time working on us than it was on the opponent.
Brandon Anderson, Maverick defensive coordinator, with us on the Team Sports Network. The Mavericks winning their opener at home against William Jewell 40-3. And I think one of the few, maybe, you know, I wouldn't say bad moments, but certainly one of the negatives was their 19-play drive to open up the game, Brandon, where your defense held them to a field goal. After that, you guys really, really shut down the Cardinals from there. But I know as a defensive coordinator and your head coach, Jermaine Jackson, that you don't like to see a team, stack up first downs like that, move the football down the field, control time of possession. It was the end result was, you know, really good because you held them to a field goal. But I know that was something you probably talked about with your defense about in regard to giving up a long drive like that early on.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to have any 19-play drives. The positive to that is there were no explosive plays on the drive, so they didn't get anything cheap. The negatives, the quarterback scramble really hurt us on that drive. I had played against that, or I had coached against that quarterback before. We kind of knew it was coming. Definitely missed a few assignments on that first drive that extended the drive, but ultimately, at least we held them to a field goal. But I think it really just kind of settled our guys down a little bit. They were almost too amped up, and we made some mistakes on that first drive that probably shouldn't have made, but after that, settled in and played a little bit better.
Brandon Anderson, Colorado Mesa defensive coordinator, with us on the Team Sports Network, and you had to be thrilled with what you saw from Remington Green. Of course, we played in the fall in the Mavericks three games. The Liberty transfer, he had 15 tackles. That was among the best in Division II football that weekend. And Remington was also named the RMAC Defensive Player of the Week. So Remington Green really helping to establish the tone for that defense and that win against William Jewell.
Yeah, Remy played a really good game. He flew around, had a lot of tackles. More than anything, though, he's kind of the voice on the sideline with the players. He leads the group, especially vocally, and he's able to get them settled down and playing the right way. But no, he had himself a game, definitely. We tried to keep things as simple as possible for the guys and just let them go make plays, and he did that a lot.
When you look at back to the numbers in that game, that they only had 73 passing yards, 135 on the ground, a lot of that, like you said, with the quarterback run game, played a role in that, Brandon, but you know, it's a little bit different than what you saw in the fall of last year where your run defense was really, really stingy. held teams under 100 yards per game. It ran around a little over 50 yards per game in the first couple of games. This time he gave up 135, but that secondary with DeMarvin Mitchell and those guys did a fantastic job against William Jewell and their quarterbacks and their receivers.
Yeah, it all works together. Run game-wise, you know, really we didn't give up hardly, you know, we didn't give up much in their planned run game, in their called run game. We gave up the quarterback scramble a lot, and the couple of run plays that they had that got out were, to be honest, they were awful play calls. That was more on me than it was on the players. And then, you know, the secondary played very well, obviously, but even more so than that, our front played really well. Whenever you're able to get pressure, just sending three guys at times, it makes the play calling a lot easier. It's definitely fun to watch those guys get after it. Maybe the sack numbers weren't quite where they wanted them to be, but I know we affected the quarterback, and they felt the pressure up front, and then the guys on the back end definitely did their part as well.
Well, Darian Hutchins had a half sack, and Brian Rattery got in for a sack as well. And like I said, the sack numbers, you know, Torin Calhoun got a half sack. I mean, there was some pressure by that defensive front in regard to maybe making some adjustments there. Some things you saw from the film that you can do a little bit differently in terms of play calling and blitzes and putting pressure on quarterbacks that you might do differently now that you get ready for Highlands?
Yeah, definitely some things that we needed to work on just execution-wise. You know, some of the things that they caught us in a couple of bad play calls, and I had to throw a couple calls away and just say, hey, we're going to stop calling this just so that we're not putting you guys in bad positions. But overall, you know, the second half in particular is really when we shined. The first half, even at times when we weren't giving up points, we weren't necessarily executing the way I'd like. The second half, we kind of simplified, just let the kids go play, and they really, really played well in the second half, executed well. All the technique, assignments, all that stuff was very good in the second half, and I think it's just we simplified and just let them go play.
Mavs defensive coordinator Brandon Anderson with us. Mavericks now getting ready to take on New Mexico Highlands to open up RMAC play. Highlands coming off an impressive game at Marv K Stadium at Campbell Field over in Golden, taking on, you know, a top 10 nationally ranked team in Colorado School of Mines. Mines gets a late score to go on to win 31-21. But Brandon, tell you what, Highlands traveled well and played really well last Saturday against the Ore Diggers.
Yeah, you know, honestly, it wasn't unexpected for me. We do have a little bit of familiarity with that staff at Highlands, and they're a very, very talented football team. And coach is doing a really good job of getting them to play together. They have a ton of new faces, and it's not just a whole bunch of guys playing individual football. You're seeing them start to come together and really put things together. But talent-wise, they are amongst the top in the conference. There's no question about that. But we've definitely got our hands full this weekend, but we look forward to the challenge.
Well, their quarterback, Ramon Atkins, who was at Alcorn State, he had a really good game against School of Mines, 230 yards. He had three touchdown passes. He also got sacked four times in that game, but was very effective in throwing the football. And C.J. Sims, seven catches, a couple of touchdowns, 114 yards. Ronald Jameson had 68 yards and a touchdown and 10 catches. Their passing game right now, Brandon, looks like it really is the strength of what they're doing offensively.
Yes, that can be deceiving a little bit. Just Mines does not give you much in the run game. They took away a lot of that pre-snap and just said, hey, you're not running the ball, just by their alignments. And so the perimeter screen game got going and the downfield shots got going as well. I wouldn't put much stock into the run game based on what Mines did to them. They still can run the football. They absolutely can run the football, and they're much better when that run game does get going. But, yes, they definitely throwing the ball, that's the flashiest part of their game for sure. They have a ton of speed at wideout, and the quarterback knows exactly where to go with the football, typically based off his pre-snap reads. He does a really good job of just managing that whole offense, making sure they're in the right plays, and getting the ball to their playmakers.
Colorado Mesa defensive coordinator Brandon Anderson with us today on the Team Sports Network. And you're right, when you look at, you know, their rushing attack, Kamari Mosby, leads them with 136 yards. He averages almost 5 yards per carry. And Cameron High has 122 yards. He's averaging over 6 yards a carry. You're right. Mines defense, their run defense is always traditionally is really, really stout. But like I said, with those two running backs, it looks like the Cowboys, you know, particularly that game against Fort Lewis, have had some success running the football here in 2021.
Yeah, absolutely. Tons of speed, really everywhere. That's kind of the name of the game with them. They have speed everywhere. You know, we mentioned the Sims kid. He can fly, but it's not just him. Their whole receiver corps can run, and their running backs can really run as well. Quarterback also can run. He kind of picks and chooses his spots, but he can also run. But the very underrated part of this is their offensive line. Yes, they gave up some sacks last week. Mines did a really good job of mixing things up with whether it was the pressure or the fronts or the looks. And I think they maybe created a little confusion here and there, but that offensive line is very underrated. They're very big, very athletic, and they definitely get after you.
Well, at the game this Saturday, the Mavericks open up RMAC play at New Mexico Highlands. Mavericks Stampede pregame show at 11. With kickoff at noon, the Mavericks square off against Highlands. Brandon, I appreciate the time. Best of luck to you and the Mavericks on Saturday against the Cowboys.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Brandon Anderson, Mavericks defensive coordinator. Tell you what, that's the game that they had at Mines last weekend. This is not the team that, you know, when Russ Martin was head coach and they went out and they put up like 77 points on them.
I know. I can't buy it until I see it. You know what I mean? My dream is to hang 100 on Highlands. That's my dream.
But once again, that might be your dream, but the reality is that it's a much better football team.
Yeah. It's got the three H's. It's alliterative. Hang 100 on Highlands. They almost got there a couple years ago. What was it, 84 to zip?
Yeah, it was like they scored over, you know, 70, 80 points. Yeah, it was in.
Yeah.
They kind of had to call off the dogs a little. I mean, Russ
they
had to call off the dogs.
There.
When he was the head coach,
they could have got there.
I just think if you're you know, the Mavericks and looking at what Highlands has been able to do. I mean they went to Golden. Mm-hmm. I mean they went there, and if the Ordiggers don't score that late touchdown, you know, could be a different outcome in that game. And that's a, you know, that's a team in the Ordiggers that are a, you know, I think what, number 8 at one point in the poll, top 10 in Division II football. John Matuka, their quarterback, he had 3 touchdowns against Highlands. He's a really, really good quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Mavericks unfortunately got to see that a couple of years ago when the Mavericks were on the wrong side of a score like Highlands was against the Mavericks. Not quite as bad, but it was bad. And look, Highlands has improved in the Mavericks. We saw that with the William Jewell game. This is a team that is a much, much better football team. And they've been in quite some time. But give Highlands credit, Josh Kirkland, their coach,
mm-hmm.
who comes from Incarnate Word, where he was the assistant head coach, running backs coach, like I said, Tremaine and some of the guys, and Brandon Anderson, there's familiarity there with Coach Kirkland that he's turned that program around in a hurry.
Last five, there's nowhere else to go.
Nowhere else to go but up.
Last 4 games between these two, Mavs have outscored them 268 to 65.
Yeah, it's been ugly.
87-14, 77-14, a relatively close 52-24, and then 51-13. We were right there. Right there for 100 in 2016. The Mavs scored with 6.5 minutes left to go in the fourth because they were running the ball.
Yeah.
It's nine play drive that took 4:45. They play the first 3 quarters. If they play that way in the fourth quarter, they get to 100, and my dream is complete.
Well, I'm just saying that Mavs going there, going to Highlands. Highlands is a much better football team than they've been. Mavs should go in there and get the win, okay?
Yeah.
But you're hanging 100 on Highlands thing probably is not going to happen.
Since
pump the brakes on that, Doc, okay?
Since 2000, 53, 62, 64, 51, 87, 77.
I'm just saying the trend is
We're getting there.
The trend is not going to continue in regard to the Mavericks going in there and blowing out Highlands, at least here in 2021. They look like they're a much better football team than they've been.
Come on, boys.
I mean, I'm not opposed to the Mavs doing that. I'm just saying I don't think, considering the improvements there, Ramon Atkins played pretty well at the quarterback spot for them. I think you're not giving them enough credit for what they did going to Mines and playing, a preseason favorite to win the conference, team that has, with Greg Brandon, national championship aspirations, not just conference championship aspirations.
Are we sure they played their starters? It is Highlands.
Yes, they did.
Okay.
They did play their starters.
Mm-hmm. They beat them so bad 5 years ago that their kids are going to feel that.
Their grade kids are going to feel that. Times have changed. I'm just trying to tell you, times have changed.
They could have scored 10 more touchdowns and still lost.
Yeah. But I still like the Mavs to go in there and get the job done.
Eight more touchdowns. Math is hard.
I just think, man, Mavs got a lot of talent. Both sides of the football now. A lot of talent. A lot of speed. Brandon Anderson's talking about Sims and the guys there. Well, how about Elijah Lilly?
Yeah.
Lionel McConnell, who we talked to yesterday on the program. Mm-hmm. Mavs have got their own speed weapons as well.
I'll pull it back a little bit because I don't want to get the coaches mad.
Okay, please don't, because we have Braylee Brown coming up.
Throw a fourth H in there. Hang half hundred on Highlands.
That would be great.
Yeah.
That would be, and that's probably more.
Beat them by at within least
the
50.
Realm of, the, yep. Within the realm of possibility.
Yeah. No touchdowns.
I still think it's
going to
be tough. It's going to be a tough football game going in there.
Yeah.
That's why you're not a football coach.
I couldn't do this one game at a time. Every team's really good. I couldn't do that. Because there are some
Until you pop off about somebody like Highlands, and they kick your butt, and you're like, okay, maybe I just need to be more respectful of everybody we play, because I never know what's going to happen.
Sometimes it's just a lie, though. They're a very competitive football team. They can give us a fight. They have seven guys.
I'm just telling you that on recent developments, okay?
Okay.
You need to respect Highlands a little more than you are. Okay? Just a little more.
One game.
Against one of the best teams in the country at their place. Now, if that was down in Highlands, if that was in Las Vegas, New Mexico, I go, okay. Long, it's not a super long trip for the Ore Diggers from Golden, but long-ish. You go there. You look at who they are, who they've been. You let down. You travel. Mm-hmm. Okay, you expect that, but not when they're playing at their place.
So if the Mavs go down there and beat them so far into the earth they come out in China, what is that going to say about their game in Mines?
Maybe Mines
kind of an outlier.
Maybe Mines isn't as good as everybody thinks they are.
I want to say if that happens.
Okay, I'm saying that might be some kind of predictor in regard to, like I said, idea how good Greg Brandon's team really is.
And then I want the baseball team to go out and score 30 on them coming up in August.
Okay.
Or April.
Yeah, it'd be next spring. New field looks great, by the way.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It's looking good. I'll
have to get Chris on to talk about that. I know Patty did a piece in the local paper about it recently. I'll have to get Chris Hanks on to talk about the new field.
Yeah.
It's looking good. All right, 919. So we've talked Mavs defense. Now it's time to flip it over to the offensive side. Braylee Brown, Colorado Mesa offensive coordinator, will join us next. Still time to text or call in today, 970-242-1340. We'll also have In the Garage with NASCAR Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan, coming up in just a little bit. Quick reminder that our show is a little bit shorter today, 940 pregame for the Rockies and the Braves right here on the Team Sports Network.
Touchdown every morning.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back. 922. Jim and the Buckeye Boy. I saw where RJ and Delta listening on 102.1 FM pleading, making this.
Yes. He's angling hard. Case
for a case. Yep. Jim, I could use some beer. Being a Giants fan and a Rockies fan, it's been challenging of late. I'm hoping the Giants will make a showing tonight. Jason Garrett hasn't been the best play caller since taking over as the OC. We will put that into consideration, RJ. Rob, sorry, I can't endorse Vegas Vic unless he's on the Raiders staff. We're going to be that particular about it?
So if you're choosing to have fun and go gamble, you're going to Reno or Atlantic City just because the Raiders are in Vegas?
Yeah. Last year was considering quick kick Vic. I like the way Vegas Vic sounds. I get it with the Raiders being in Vegas, but I do like the way it was in a great call on your part. I like the way it rolls off the tongue. I do. Mm-hmm. All right, Rob, we'll think about it, but it's going to be Vegas Vic until we decide otherwise. All right, we talked with Mavericks defensive coordinator Brandon Anderson. Now it's time to get to the offensive side of the football for the Colorado Mesa Mavericks. And with us right now, the offensive coordinator for the Mavs, Braylee Brown. Braylee, appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on today.
Yes, sir, Jim. How are you guys doing?
Doing fine. We talked with Brandon Anderson, and he said, in his time at Lindenwood and his coaching career, he's never had a bye week. For you, how have you utilized the bye week, and has it been different for you having a bye week?
It has been. It's been very different. I've actually never had a non-conference game.
Okay.
So my last two schools, every game has been conference, right? 11 straight games, sure. 11 straight conference games. And so coming into that week, we really didn't know how to handle it, right? Do we show everything and just throw it out on the table, make people prepare for it? Do we kind of stay vanilla? And then going into the bye week, especially so soon, actually was good for us because obviously with the freshman quarterback and him kind of getting a little bit of game experience and then going into practice, getting our corrections, and then it's really intriguing to see how much he improved from game one to game two, and so we're excited to see that.
I tell you what, talk about a heck of a debut for Carst Hunter. I mean, he hadn't played quarterback since his high school days at Miller High School in South Dakota, was a wide receiver at South Dakota State. First collegiate start, just 302, 65 yards on the ground, a couple touchdown passes. Nothing special in his collegiate debut. Oh, by the way, he was named the RMAC Offensive Player of the Week. I tell you what, I know you had certain expectations for him, but he had to have blown those expectations, Braylee, out of the water for you with that debut.
Yeah, and you know what's funny about it is he actually has never played quarterback with two offensive tackles because he played nine-man football at Miller.
Okay, yeah, wow, that is different, yeah.
And so it was his first game. It's always a joke because the tackles are like, oh, that's why you like guards more, because you've never had tackles before. And so he started slow, which was expected, right? I mean, your nerves are shaking. He overthrew a few wide-open balls. But what he did is he made plays for us, and he trusted his instinct, and he's really athletic as he kind of put on display. And he puts us in the best position, and he doesn't turn the ball over. And so that was something that was good to see, was that he took care of the balls. He took care of the ball, and he kind of put us in a good position to be successful. And as a quarterback, that's what you have to do, especially with a really good defense.
Braylee Brown, Colorado Mesa offensive coordinator with us on the Team Sports Network. And I mentioned he ran for 65 yards, and that was a big asset to the running game. I thought he was very smart when he decided to tuck and run, that when nothing was there, made the smart play, and it turned into some big plays for your offense.
Yeah, we worked a lot on sliding this week.
Yeah, I noticed that a couple times, yeah.
He's still in the receiver running back mindset where he's just going to try to get every yard. I'm like, hey, if you get the first down, let's get down. Let's live to play another down.
Exactly.
And so it's good to have guys like that that you have to reel back. And then if a quarterback keeps it a couple times, on a zone read, a power read, something like that, now the defense has to play that. And I don't want the quarterback running a ton of game, but if you do it a few times a game, and now they have to honor that and have to respect that. And so it makes our offense just that much versatile.
Mavs offensive coordinator Braylee Brown joining us today on the Team Sports Network. You look at the offensive output against William Jewell, 558 total yards, a 302 through the air, 256 rushing yards. Gavin Herberg certainly added to that with his long 81-yard run at the very end of the football game. But overall, your thoughts about how your running game looked in that game against William Jewell?
Yeah, it looked good, and we knew going in that in the box, they like to load the box up, seven or eight in the box every single play. And so to run the ball efficiently, we either had to do one or two things, get hat on hat in the box or get it on the perimeter. And I think we did a little bit of both of that. And it was good to see the offensive line played really well. Obviously, zero sacks. Carst played really well. He pulled it, like you said, he pulled it when he needed to. He didn't try to be too aggressive. And so he just kind of did what he needed to do and played the play. And the result was good. Like I said, we should have started faster, going into halftime, we knew that, okay, coming out, we get the ball in the second half, and so we have to get going right away. And we did that, and that was good to see. We kind of went off from there.
And you got to love this receiving core. Elijah Lilly, Lionel McConnell, Blakey, your tight ends, Dagan Rinks, with that great one-handed catch in the end zone. That's a tremendous amount of depth at the wideout spot, tight end spot, Braylon. A lot of good targets for Carson Hunter to throw the football to, regardless of whether it's the wideouts or the tight ends.
Right. After Elijah took that slant, I think it was 78 or whatever, I said, heck, let's just do that every play. That's a lot easier on me.
Okay, just throw the slant every single time.
Yeah, just do that every play. Take it one play. It was a lot easier on my call. But no, I think we had 12 guys that got a reception and 17 or 18 guys overall that touched the ball. And so that was good to see. And like I said previously, we had those new guys that came in, but what that did was it elevated the guys under them. And so everybody's kind of playing to that championship standard now, and we're excited to kind of display that again Saturday.
We have New Mexico Islands on Saturday. They went to Golden and played Mines really, really well, lost 31-21. Roderick Woods has been one of their leading tacklers, 13 tackles. Terrence Jackson has 14 tackles. What have you seen on film, Braylon, of this Highlands Cowboys defense?
Yeah, besides, I think Mines was 5 for 5 on fourth down, including one that won the game with like a minute to go. And so they are a top-tier caliber team in the RMAC. And they're fast, they're physical. They have new guys kind of all around just like we do on offense. And so it'll be transfer heavy. They have guys that played in a lot of big games. And so they'll be ready to go, I know that. They're, like I said, they're big, they're physical. Besides our defense and our safeties, I think they're two of the top safeties in the league, and so it'll be a good challenge for us. I'm excited to see the one-on-one battles. It's going to be really good athletes on really good athletes, and so we'll see what happens at the end of the deal.
Hey, Braylon, appreciate the time. We'll have the game this Saturday, Colorado Mesa at New Mexico Islands, pregame at 11, kickoff at noon on the team CMU Sports Network. Best of luck Saturday, Braylon. Thanks again for coming on.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jim.
All right, Braylon Brown, offensive coordinator, in charge of the passing game for the Mavericks. Offense joining us on the program. All right, 9:30. Don't forget Rockies baseball, Rockies and Braves coming up in just a few minutes. And time right now to get in the garage with NASCAR Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan.
Now, to anyone out there who wants to go fast, anybody.
I want to go fast.
Like an oval, and we're going to drive straight, and then we're going to be turning to the left.
Green flag, get ready to go in the air. Boogity, boogity, boogity. Let's go racing, boys.
All right, it's time to go in the garage with NASCAR Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Not just a better dealership, pricing and information at MontroseFordNissan.com. Quick reminder, Rockies and Braves coming up in just a few minutes at 9:40, so we'll get right after it from the great state of Iowa. NASCAR Fred, good morning, Fred. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Good morning, Jim. You know, the debate right now is kind of, well, gee, has Joe Gibbs Racing caught up with Hendrick Motorsports? Because Hendrick was so strong, just dominating, you know, earlier in the season. It's kind of looking that way, I would think. We're two races into the playoffs. Both of those races have been won by Joe Gibbs Racing. And so last week at Richmond, Joe Gibbs first, second, and third. So, yeah, I'd say that that Gibbs is very strong going into the playoffs. And Martin Truex gets his fourth win of the year.
That's right. Martin Truex, Denny Hamlin, Christopher Bell, all in Toyotas, all Joe Gibbs Racing, 1, 2, and 3. At, of course, Richmond of the Federated Auto Parts 400 Salute to First Responders. We've got J-Rod with us as well this morning. And J-Rod, your takeaway from what you saw on the race at Richmond?
You know, it was interesting with it. One, I think, for one, is Kurt Busch. I didn't think, you know, never would have thought him to be in an accident so early in the going. But Martin Truex coming through, shining. I mean, really had a mediocre, I would think, season, but really showed his dominance with this race.
So, Fred, when we look at the points right now, we're in, of course, the playoff standings right now, Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr., Kyle Larson, but you got Hamlin and Truex Jr., your top two guys right now when it comes to playoff positioning.
And Larson is already through to the round of 12 on playoff points. That's one of the advantages of carrying a huge load of playoff points going into the playoffs. So he can coach. He doesn't have to worry about rest hole by any means. I mean, he knows he's already through. Some interesting things, though, looking down near the cut line, Brad Keselowski only 13 points above the cut line. Kyle Busch only 8 points above the cut line. Eric Almirola 3 points above. Kurt Busch, Alex Bowman tied right on the cut line. William Byron, 18 points below the cut line, so he's going to have to scramble. There's going to be some interesting racing with the cutoff coming this weekend.
And it's with Bristol, the Chrome Horn, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with especially those four guys, I would say four or five guys, because they're all going to be vying to make it to that next round.
Yeah, I wouldn't say Kyle Busch has nothing to lose, but only 8 points above the cut line, he's got to at least go out there and run top five. But William Byron, he pretty much does have nothing to lose. I'll tell you who's interesting to me, and he finished in the top 10 at Richmond. I think he was seventh. Ross Chastain, he's just hanging around there. He would just love to come into this playoff situation and play the spoiler and take a win away from somebody, and it could end up happening before it's all said and done. Don't necessarily think it'll happen this weekend at Bristol, though.
We're in the garage of NASCAR. Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Not just a better deal, a better dealership. Pricing information at MontroseFordNissan.com. Before we talk about Bristol, we need to talk about what the schedule looks like for 2022, because NASCAR released some information about that. That looks like Indianapolis Motor Speedway confirming that NASCAR Cup Series return to that track, the road course for 2022, which we saw, of course, this time around. But there's some other announcements that came out yesterday, guys. Let's go through this. Other courses being added to the schedule for next year.
First of all, talking about Indianapolis, they're going to run the Indy Road Course again next year, like they did this year. But they are planning on running the big Brickyard Oval again in the near future, they say. It could be maybe alternate years, run the road course 1 year, the oval the next, or maybe even run both of them on the same weekend, do a doubleheader, which would be an exciting thing to do. The other big news, really, is we've known it as Gateway. It's Worldwide Technology Raceway at Gateway, is the official name. The trucks have been running there for years and years. Big mile-and-a-quarter racetrack in St. Louis. Cup Series is finally going to start running there next year on June 5th. They're going to put that in place of one of the Pocono races, so there will be one in Pocono. But it's kind of a similar track to Darlington, wouldn't you say, J-Rod?
I would, and I was just going to say, Gateway is an awesome track. I've been there. It's a beautiful facility, so it's been a long time coming for them guys to finally get to set four tires on that track and go around it.
Yes, and it's an asymmetrical oval, which it has that in common with Darlington. And close to the same length, too. It's a 1.25-mile. Darlington is 1.3. They're used to NASCAR races, just haven't had the Cup Series there. I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Yeah, and the other big news, 2022, the Clash is going to be at the Los Angeles Coliseum. They are going to make a quarter-mile asphalt track in the Los Angeles Coliseum.
That's going to be a sight to see.
That's going to be awesome.
I mean, if you go back to the 60s, when they had the Los Angeles Angels, they played initially, they played their games in the Coliseum, and how it was all really a funky-looking baseball field. I guess we're going to see something very, very unique this time around. NASCAR at the L.A. Coliseum.
The Dodgers first played there when they got to California, too.
Yes, they did.
For a year or two.
Yeah, wasn't the first, no, the first Super Bowl, was that the Coliseum?
That would have been the Coliseum, yes, that would be correct, Fred.
Yeah. Quarter mile track. I can't even comprehend that, because, Bristol, that's a half mile track, and that they say is like flying jet fighters in a gymnasium. On a quarter mile track, it's just going to be crazy. I can't wait for that.
If you're not familiar with Bowman Gray Stadium, this is what it's going to be like. You get on the gas as a drag race for about eighth of a mile, not even that. Bounce off the guy in front of you and keep growing.
It's going to make some exciting racing.
A lot of beating and banging.
No doubt about it. Okay, so we have coming up this weekend the Bass Pro Shops Night Race at Bristol. Kyle Busch is your favorite in that, by the way, depending on which betting site you go to. Let's quickly go around it here at the time we have remaining. Fred, J-Rod, give us your predictions for Bristol coming up this weekend.
Well, I was right about Richmond. You and I both picked Martin Truex. I figured, if Truex take that one, and then Kyle would get his win this week. I don't know. I have a sneaking suspicion. The two Busch brothers between them have 14 wins at Bristol. I just think the Wiley veteran, Kurt Busch, is he's sitting right on the cut line. I think he's going to come through. I think Kurt Busch is going to get the win.
J-Rod?
Man, it's hard. I want to stay with the four car. He's my guy. But something's telling me Ryan Blaney might be able to pull this one off.
I'm gonna go Chase Elliott on this one. Buckeye?
I had it written down like an hour ago, so Fred kind of stole my thunder. Kurt Busch.
Okay.
I like Kurt Busch.
All right, very good. Don't forget the race is coming up this weekend, coming up Saturday, night racing at Bristol, the Bass Pro Shops night race, 5:30 our time on NBC Sports Network. All right, guys, appreciate it. Thank you so much for talking some NASCAR with us today. We'll talk to you next Thursday. Great to have you back from vacation, by the way. Did you do anything fun?
You know, went to Nashville, so it was cool. I didn't get to make it to the Nashville Speedway, but hey, you know what? Got to go to Nashville.
Still a good time in Nashville sites. To be yep. had, right?
You
absolutely. All right, so the guys will be back next Thursday. Don't forget, it's always brought to you in the garage by Montrose Ford Nissan. Not just a better deal, a better dealership for pricing information. Check out their website, montrosefordnissan.com. All right, well, that's our show for today. We leave you early today. See if the Rockies can get the sweep in Atlanta against the Braves. Rockies 5-1 on the road trip. And looking for a sweep of the Braves after the 10-inning
3-2.
Yeah, 5-1. 5-1 on the road trip. Can you believe that?
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. And a potential sweep of the Braves. Yeah. You have a chance to catch that coming up in just a couple minutes.
Hairy American winning machine.
Got that right. Mike Rice, Jack Corrigan, Rockies on deck, heading your way. In less than 30 seconds, right here on the Team Sports Network for the Buckeye Boy, I'm Jim.